Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Eileen Gaffin, your host for Reputation and Influence, and our topic today is important. It's doing work that matters, and we have an important guest to interview today. Our leading lady is Kim Kutz with Civilian, and want to wish you a good afternoon, Kim.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, you're very welcome, and Happy New Year.
To you, too.
Doing work that matters. How important has that been to your life? We're interested in knowing about your story and your journey. And have you always been focused on doing work that matters?
I haven't. I think for me, and I think maybe for sort of a generation of women that have maybe been working as long as I have, which is in the 25 to 30 year range, I don't think I knew that that was something I could consider when I first got out of school. I went to journalism school and got a job, and I think you sort of focus on being financially independent and then developing your skill set. And I've been working in agencies for a really long time and had some very great experiences, lots of varied experience, and was sort of building that. And really just started thinking about it, I would say, probably 5 to 7 years ago as I hit sort of the pinnacle of my PR agency career. I got to a place where I was at the highest job in the agency that I wanted to have or probably could have. And I think at that point I started to think a little more broadly, maybe get a little burned out in my work, and kind of went to a point where I knew I needed to do something different. And I moved into consulting at that time so that I could control what I was doing, and focused on that for 5 years. I started the consulting firm called Positive Change, and that was really my stake in the ground and what I wanted to focus on. And I did that pretty successfully, loved it for 5 years, and then realized that I missed being part of a team. So I am new at my job now at Civilian, but I've been here for almost 5 months. And Civilian is an agency, an integrated agency focused on social good and social change marketing.
Ah, so you've combined both.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
Your passions and what matters. And so when you talked about a little bit earlier when you felt a little burnt out and you started a consulting firm, is that also the time you started to think about your passions and what you wanted to do and how you wanted to maybe combine or integrate what mattered to
definitely.
You with your work?
Yes, definitely. I think I felt I was at that point in my career where I had the experience to be able to tackle some of the bigger changes and make longer-term bigger impact. And it was also the time that we were seeing a cultural shift, all of the transparency that came with the internet and with companies having to be on 24/7 and really more, I think, accountable to consumers who were able to have more information about what companies were doing and the internal workings. I think that all sort of came together, and I definitely believe then and still believe that the companies that are going to continue to survive and thrive going forward are those that stand for something more than just making a profit. And it's okay if you're making money too. I mean, businesses have to make money, but businesses that exist and really authentically embody something more than just making money. And I think they're the ones that are going to thrive, particularly as we have the new generations that are coming into the workforce and are getting more disposable income. Millennials have always been very sustainability focused. And Generation Z is definitely following in their footsteps in terms of focusing on corporate values and really wanting to give brand loyalty to companies that stand for something.
Yeah, that's what we're really seeing, aren't we? Because there are a lot of young people who will enter the workforce, make some good money in that first year or two, and then say, wait a minute, I still haven't seen the world. It might have been something that took us 20 years to reach that point, but they, early on in their life and their career, are saying, wait a minute, there's more out there and different ways to make my passions part of my life and not living to work, so to speak.
Exactly.
Are you seeing that?
They're not willing to wait. They're not, you know, as I was sort of, you know, getting a little tired and burnt out at my job, I had a daughter that was about to go to college. So, you know, I put my head down and decided I would stay until I got her through school. And, you know, it didn't end up working out that way, but I don't think that's a choice some of the younger generations would make. I was just talking to a friend of my daughter's who just graduated, and she's going straight into, she knows she wants to be in sustainability related marketing and is looking at getting a master's, but she's going straight after that and that's always been her passion, and she's going to start there. And I think that's awesome.
So the more that companies, whether that's their core business or, like you said, make their purpose identifiable and have some kind of social meaning, that's going to also attract a better workforce, not only customers, but sounds like employees as well.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's why I like to talk about work that matters. I think there's a lot of different words out there, and I know purpose is, you know, one buzzword, and we talk a lot about social change or behavior change marketing, and I think a lot of that stuff is buzzwords. But for me, work that matters is broad enough that it can be something different for anybody. And while we might not all define it the same way, we all sort of know it when we see it. And whether that's a job function, you know, I've talked to people that are in for-profit corporations, but they believe that their calling is being a mentor and a manager, and they bring that passion and that matters to them. To, you know, what I'm doing, where I'm working for an agency that is entirely focused on social change and tackling those societal issues. So there's a full spectrum there, which is nice, and I think, you know, leaves a lot of room for a lot of different definitions.
Yeah, and I think that's important, because think about our listeners today who may say, well, I'm burned out in my job, or my job is just okay, but it's a job. And how do they look to start defining work that matters, whether that's a job or volunteer work or something?
Yeah, or a side hustle. I initially had started building a travel business on the side. I had worked in travel, public relations, and ecotourism, and I started initially when I was still working with a sort of a side business and was going to try and address it, you know, that way. And so I think there's a lot of different ways to do that, because we do have, you know, financial realities, and I'm really lucky that I'm in a role that, you know, that pays well and also allows me to do my passion, but that's not an immediate choice for a lot of people. So I think there's different ways definitely to head in that direction.
And so if somebody's just starting out or they're looking to make a change, what experience is going to be required of them to just step into a new role or a passion?
I think that it depends on the role. It's been really interesting for me, because after being in public relations and communications for almost 30 years, I felt like I'd sort of seen it all and done it all. And when I got here, I realized that a lot of the public health and sort of government work actually requires different disciplines that I didn't already have. Fortunately, I have already worked with sort of purpose-driven businesses, and I have, you know, my writing skills and media outreach and influencer identification and outreach. So there was a lot I could bring to the table, but I have been digging in and learning about the differences between social marketing and commercial marketing. There's definitely different ways to reach target audiences. The work that we're doing for government and for public health right now is much more rooted in best practices and very deep and specific research. So we hire some people out of public health, out of nursing. Some of the work we do is with perinatal health, and we definitely have some people that have worked in healthcare in the past. We have some people that are very focused on research and have done that kind of peer-reviewed research and writing that help us create strategy before we jump in. And then there's the range of account service people who generally come from advertising agencies and media buying, and then the graphics design and creative and sort of that side. I think I'm seeing there's a lot more programs. Now I was just hearing about some programs that are specifically focused on training for this kind of work for people that are just coming out of school. But I think if, you know, if it's something you're interested in and you're already sort of in the field, looking at how, you know, core skills fit into that and where your passions fit. I think for me, talking to my daughter who's trying to enter the workforce, and my suggestions have always been now to sort of show people what you're passionate about and a subject matter on online. So if it's, you know, obesity prevention or you're into recycling or, you know, sustainability, I think having a blog and, you know, digging into subject matter expertise in those areas would definitely be something that we would look at when we're looking to hire people, because we want to make sure that we hire like-minded individuals that are committed to the things that we're working on.
Well, that's really interesting. And I think that might be an eye-opener to people in some of the industries and fields that you mentioned, like public health and education. They may not be working on the agency side right now, and they maybe they didn't even know that that was a possibility, that their expertise was sought by agencies like civilian working on social change or social good. And so I'd like you to talk a little bit more about what you're doing today and what some of those campaigns or stories are that involves doing work that matters.
Yeah, I think some of the things that we've done recently, something that we're very proud of, is that we have worked with a nonprofit hospital in Orange County on a campaign that was focused on reducing teen alcohol consumption. And that was very much a campaign that started in best practice research that was available and went back 15 years and focused very much on very deep research skills to look at what actually works. There's a lot of campaigns out there. We've seen the, you know, this is your brain on drugs with the, you know, with the fried egg, and kids tend to think they're invincible and not respond quite so much to those fear-based campaigns. Although there have been instances where it's worked. But what we found is that when kids knew the actual numbers of other teens that were drinking, and it's actually 80% of teens we found out do not drink in high school. And we realized if kids knew, I'm surprising, right? I think we all felt like it was more. I think we grow up as parents even thinking it's sort of a rite of passage and it's inevitable and it's not harmful. But 82% of kids in high school aren't drinking. That's based on the California Healthy Kids Survey data that the state does every year. So we found out that when you present kids with that information as a social norm and let them know what other kids are doing, it makes them feel less alone and a little bit stronger in making their own decisions. So we started Strengthen Numbers, which was a campaign directed at teenagers and giving them that information. And then there was a companion site with parental resources that sort of told them how to talk to their kids and talked about different things that kids are doing instead of engaging in unhealthy behaviors. And we went directly to the schools and did some advertising at football games and different places, did focus group testing for that ahead of time. And we just got the California Healthy Kids Survey back data. And after being in the market for a year, we've seen reductions in teen self-reported teen alcohol consumption of up to 43% at the three high schools that were targeted. So that's a huge number and definitely something that I think was a little bit surprising to us, but was definitely based in that research. We also are working right now on a prenatal health campaign for African-American audiences, and that's someplace that we're relying really heavily on one of our staffers that comes from public health and looking at the research on system-wide, what is it in our healthcare system? Because we found that none of the normally protective factors of, you know, having a support system or the type of insurance you have, nothing is protecting these women, and babies are dying at a much higher rate. So she's sort of leading that charge right now and looking into exactly what is happening in the system that we can address And then the data came back saying that that's something that we can't just focus on one audience. We really need to get the community as a whole behind improving those outcomes. And something that I read the other day that scared the heck out of me, but the U.S. is actually declining in life expectancy for the first time in decades and decades of gains. And our life expectancies are going down, and it's based on what they're calling deaths of despair, and it's primarily suicide and drug overdoses. This is a depressing, horrible article in the LA Times, but you know, it's reality, and it's being especially prevalent in areas of the country that have had big job losses, in places where they've had a lot of, like Detroit, where they've had a lot of manufacturing disappear, or some of the traditional coal mining states. And this whole connection to your civic connections and society is getting hollowed out. There's huge gaps in our healthcare system, and it's really leading to an increase in people are dying sooner from these kinds of deaths. So I think that's something as a society that we're really going to have to address, as well as things like we work in tobacco, trying to get people to smoke less, tobacco cessation. Done some working on the vaping front now. You know, everybody's been so focused on the vaping epidemic and really trying to put an end to that. And that's another really strong, you know, public health area where we rely heavily on medical professionals and people that come from that field.
Yeah, and we just heard about the new federal mandate. So sounds like there's going to be a lot of changes in that area.
Yes, although unfortunately they've been being pushed to look at that federally for, gosh, more than a decade, actually. And it came so late that, you know, we ended up having a lot of serious illnesses and some deaths. So that's definitely unfortunate.
So there's lots of ways that your agency has been working, or you personally have been working on change in society and making
a difference. Absolutely. Yeah, and we also work with the transit system and promoting transit use. And I had no idea. I just learned we put out an economic impact report from Point Loma that talked about the impact of the transit system on riders and non-riders. We wanted to look at, I think a lot of people think it just doesn't relate to them if they don't ride, but we found that for every dollar of taxpayer funding, that system returns $2.80 in economic value a number of different ways. So that really sort of opened my eyes to how important access to transit is to get people to work. It's definitely, you know, great for environmental reduction in greenhouse gases, but it also has a direct economic impact. And that was really interesting to me and sort of a, you know, a different area that we looked at.
And what about the environment?
We work
and
a lot on
climate change.
Obviously that's another big issue that's going to impact us all. We work primarily on the recycling front. And on community and like disaster resiliency for earthquake response and before earthquakes, things like disaster recovery. We certainly are going to probably in California be dealing with a lot more wildfires. That's something that has definitely impacted us all. So looking at how we can be more prepared and communicate more effectively in those instances. And we work with paint recycling and trying to make sure that things get recycled in the right places as well.
And we have worldwide listeners to our program, and I know that disaster recovery and the wildfires in Australia, and I mean, this is and all the, you know, global concerns. Are you working at that level as well on a global level, or primarily in communities? How does your work focus?
Our work has primarily been focused on the regional and state level, but that is definitely one of my goals when I joined. I want to expand that nationally and then hopefully internationally. I had worked with a client that was in manufacturing when I was consulting and saw an unaided vaccine machine that one of their clients was creating. So basically you can put malaria vaccines in this refrigerator that can then vaccinations without a doctor or a nurse being present. So they are highly effective in third world countries. And there's so many of those preventable diseases that we just need to get out there and into the market. And a lot of times the need for staffing is is a barrier. So it removes that barrier. And I think it's projects like that that I'm hoping we can move into and really start to make a global impact as well.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You went from years and years of feeling that you weren't doing work that matters necessarily to now it sounds like your entire world is is helping others and working in all these different industries and
yep.
You know, it's amazing.
It is amazing. I could not be happier. There was definitely some threads that started very early on. I will say I worked for a big global agency, and there is no better experience, I think, for when you're younger and when you want to get a variety of different experiences. I was able to work across technology, consumer and packaged goods. I moved into travel, and then I moved into corporate reputation management and crisis and issues management. So I think I have a really, I feel like I have the background to sort of tackle anything that's thrown at me at this point. And so I'm very grateful for that. And during that time is when I started working with one of my ecotourism clients that I have continued to work with to this day. It's based down in Mexico. So there was, you know, it is not to say that the people I worked with back in the day didn't matter, but,
right.
You know, you learn to pay attention to what really gets you out of bed in the morning and what gets you excited. And I am just so blessed now to have the opportunity to do that full time.
Absolutely. You mentioned just now ecotourism. What is that and how is that helping or doing work that matters?
It was fascinating for me. I worked with a company. They're a Mexican-owned hospitality brand down based out of Cancun. They are one of the very few locally owned organizations. There's only two Mexican-owned chains in that area. They had built several hotels, and then when I was working with them, launched their first eco resort. And the fascinating thing is that it's a big building. It's 300 and something rooms. And if you talk to media or anybody in the field, they would not have believed that it could possibly be sustainable. And then when we would bring them out and showcase how they were bringing water up from the water table very deep using solar pumps, and it's so cold that they use the water coming up to pre-chill the air conditioners, and then they capture it when it's steam on the way out and use that for the heaters. They built almost the entire property off-site and just assembled it together like Legos, so that they wouldn't disrupt the wildlife. They actually did a count of every plant and animal in the area before they started construction and made sure that they had more diversity after they were done construction. And now, and I should tell people, it's called Hacienda Tres Rios. It's outside of Cancun. And now they have built an organic off-the-grid farm in the jungle outside of Cancun and are bringing back some of the old Mayan ways of farming. Because if you think about anyone that's been to Cancun, you think about those thousands and thousands of hotels and rooms, and all of the produce and decorative plants are being bused in right now from other places. So they are mm-hmm. the only people that are growing all of their produce and ornamental plants in an off-the-grid farm in the jungle. And they've actually brought people up from Chile and other South American countries to sort of bring back this way, because it's a limestone table. It's very difficult to farm. And they're learning new ways to do that and bringing back something that they thought had been lost to that region. So it's really cool. And we've had a lot of success converting green media, winning some global awards, and, you know, not to mention what they're doing for the environment. And they've got a kids program in the kids club that teaches kids about what they're doing and is really putting that in the hands of the next generation to keep track of, which is really nice.
Oh, that's incredible. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's
really
cool.
And
I want to combine their off time with, you know, with doing something important, and sustainability is certainly something that people are going to be looking for even in their vacation resorts. So that's
yep.
a good
and
move.
You want to be comfortable too. I think we were used to, you know, originally eco resorts meant a couple of rooms and no air conditioning, and we weren't sure if the electricity was going to be on or not. And this is definitely a, you know, a high-end, comfortable luxury resort that is truly and completely sustainable, which is a really great model.
Well, what last message would you like to leave for people, for our listeners, about doing work that matters?
I think just dig in and find out what really matters to you. It could be, you know, a small thing and something that you do every day, or if there's issues that you know that matter to you, get involved, volunteer. It doesn't have to be a full-time job, and I think, you know, there are very few of us who are lucky enough to do that, but we can all make a difference, and I've seen in such a short amount of time how much of a difference we can make if we all push together for the common good. So I guess I would just encourage everybody to get involved, and if, you know, anyone wants to hear anything more, they're certainly welcome to reach out to me and figure out if there's a way that they can get involved there, too.
What's the best way to reach you? I think we've got a link to your website on our radio page, but is there any other way, a contact information you'd like to give?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to give my email address. It's kim@civilian.agency. And I'll just put this out there that I am hiring somebody, a mid-level public relations communications person. So anyone's listening and thinks that this is the home for them, definitely feel free to reach out with a resume.
That's great. Okay,
there's an account services person that is one of the people that has been here for more than 15 years. She unfortunately lost her son last year, January 2nd, to a rare heart disease. And the people in the agency volunteered their time, and we have just created a website that is all about increasing. Originally, it was started to increase the positivity around their little boy when he was in the ICU, and people started posting on Facebook good deeds that they would do for other people and just sharing them, and the family would read those to him at night. And then it sort of took off from there, and although we have lost Blake, we have now launched a website. It's called forblake.org. You may see it on the news. We were on KUSI a couple of days ago, and we have a few more. We're talking to NBC and KPBS and COGO this week, and really just trying to get people involved in doing good deeds and posting those on the website. So we would love it if people got on the site, looked at maybe the video, and just did a good deed. It's another great way to get involved.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you've given us so many great suggestions for how to get involved and how to find what matters to you. And I appreciate that. And you had a job opening. So, I mean, I think that you've hit on all the all the possible value points that you possibly could
awesome.
During this podcast. Yeah. So I want to thank you. Thanks to Kim Kutz for being our leading lady today. And a special thanks to all our listeners, both here in the United States and around the world. We are an international show. We'll be back again for another Women Lead radio show Mondays at 9 o'clock Pacific and Friday afternoons at 2 Pacific time. So thank you. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today, and I thank you for listening. And remember, your reputation is our business.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.